I've got a concern, Ed.
Yes, sir.
We had a midair out in Colorado where guy flew through center line at Centennial Airport and ended up hitting a metro liner.
I'm familiar with that.
And I understand trying to at least expose a pilot to these sensations and that kind of stuff, but are we not breeding in a bad habit? And you talk about not teaching them technique. Who's going to teach the trainer to have presence of mind that if you go 60, 90 and you're doing these maneuvers and something happens and the airplane dishes out, you get into a yawed situation, it's uncoordinated, bad things start to happen. What's the recovery with all of that? And who's going to be responsible for it? I mean, I understand trying to expose pilots to these things. I just get concerned that if we're taking them up to at least expose them to this, are we not expanding their envelope that they think they can do more than they can with themselves in the airplane?
Well, that's a very valid concern, but to not to give a snarky answer, but to try and put it into perspective, we teach go-arounds, but when we teach go-arounds, it's for a purpose. It's not to teach people buzzing. We teach ground reference maneuvers for a purpose, but that's not to teach them low-level aerobatics. So I know that's not a very gracious answer, but I hope that addresses your question.
Would you consider that somebody enrolling in an aerobatics school where there's actually maneuvers that have guidelines and quantitative, that is a good roll, that is a bad roll. How does that differ from what you're saying where you just go out and do 60, 90 and it doesn't matter what happens?
Let me tell you a war story. When I was learning aerobatics, before I did my first loop, the instructor had me do a steep turn, you know, just bank a whole bunch and pull hard and see what the sight picture is, see things go past, see what the stick feel is, feel the G's. And although it wasn't taught, that was an E3 experience. What does it feel like? What does it look like? Didn't care about altitude, didn't care about speed. What does it feel like? And then when time came to do the loop, which had entry speeds and G's and float over the top and all those good things, the sensations were not brand new and overwhelming. Does that sort of answer your question?
Well, thank you, Ed. I think that's where we're at. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
Okay, next up is Ray Kwong, and his title is Epic Optics. That's his company, his concept. It's a head-up display, and I'm sure that we're all very curious about what he has to say about that particular piece of equipment. Ray, would you come forward? And if you would, just take a second to introduce your colleagues.
So I have two people up here with me. One is Chuck Nash, Captain Chuck Nash, retired. He's a former A-7 pilot, transitioned to F-18s. Before that, he had his private pilot's license at the ripe age of 17 and a founder of Epic Optics. The other gentleman is Rich Chapman, a former A-7 pilot, flew the first naval aircraft with a head-up display, proud owner of an RV-7A, and he's got 250 hours flying our HUD and helping us refine the software, make sure the symbology was correct, make sure that the performance of the HUD relative to the aircraft itself worked in accordance with what the FAA defines as a HUD. Okay, well, thank you very much. It's an honor to be here. I appreciate being here as a finalist, and I'm excited to tell you about the progress that we've made since the last time we were here. When we looked at loss of control, controlled flight into terrain, the physical aspects of vertigo, what we realized is that there was something lacking in general aviation that most everybody in the audience has seen from seeing videos of military aircraft, and that's having a head-up display. if you have $500,000 to $2 million, you can buy a military HUD. We're a Navy-centric company. We have a lot of fighter pilots in the company, and they encouraged us to launch the first product line as head-up displays for general aviation. And the interesting thing is that when you look at the definition of a HUD display, as the FAA defines it, it has to be two primary things. It needs to be focused to infinity. Without it being focused to infinity, what you're really doing is looking at a head-down display, because you're looking close and you're looking far away. That's a very important characteristic, and it's not easy to do. The other aspect of it is to be conformal, which means that the graphics and symbology that you generate is aligned and scaled with the outside world. That's how people make approaches, and they get credit for minimums from the FAA. Epicoptics is an optical engineering, manufacturing, and design company. And when we look at a problem in a vertical market, we like to not just replicate what somebody else does, but we like to make it better. And so we have a tremendous amount of experience in designing military HUDs. We have a lot of consumer electronics experience. And we have a lot of naval aviators to tell us what to do. So what we wanted to do, essentially, and the one thing I will tell you is I'm going through these slides quickly, but I would encourage you, there's a lot of information in our slides and educational relative to head-up displays. Please ask me for a copy of the slides. We looked at the actual performance characteristics of military HUDs as the primary way to define what a good HUD does. We looked at how we could make it better, and especially as we realize, I don't want to say cheap, but general aviation pilots like to purchase things inexpensively. So we decided we were going to come up with a cheaper, better, faster solution. One of the interesting things that we found out about military and commercial HUDs throughout the entire world is that they're monochrome. And the first question is, why don't you have color? And the answer is because we've always done it this way. So we thought, well, we can do full color. And that way, you can have red warnings, yellow cautions, green is good. And that's what we wanted to provide to the general aviation community, a full color HUD. And the reason why is because when you look at the design of our HUD, it's a platform. It's a display just like you have with your computer system at home. And we wanted the experimental community to understand that and be able to say, you know what, I can add functionality to this. I can make my own graphics processor, even though you do, because it might be cheaper or better, or the software is more to my liking. And that's something that we wanted to convey to everybody is, we came up with what I think is a HUD that surpasses all of the performance characteristics of the most expensive commercial and military head-up displays. So you'll see that we are very high definition. We are brighter than any military HUD. We have conformal imagery, and we're very low power. We were talking to somebody today that said, well, how much power does it draw? And we said, 13 to 14 watts. They said, I replaced one of my landing lights that was a couple hundred watts with LEDs. So that's no problem. That's the kind of characteristics we wanted to provide to the experimental community. So what did we do? When we first showed up at EAA, we had an Eagle 1 head-up display. That particular head-up display proved the optical characteristics that I described as defined by the FAA. We wanted to make sure that any fighter pilot or commercial jet pilot that came by the booth, when he looked at it, would say to us, that's the best head-up display visuals that I've ever seen. And that's typically the case, because they've never seen color. The next thing that we did, and when we first applied for the Innovation Award, is we designed an Eagle 2. So we took all the bad things that people reported to us about the Eagle 1, we added an HDMI port so that now people could add their own processor and graphics to it if they wanted to. We added a power supply that would operate from 12 to 28 volts, and we added a night mode. so that not only can you fly brighter in the daytime, but at night you can dim it down to practically nothing. In order to get that symbology that we were talking about, we came up with a graphics processor. And that graphics processor connects to virtually every general avionics suite that's made today, takes the data labels and processes it into graphics. We also made a GPUV that will import video, overlay it with the graphics, and now you're getting full synthetic vision like you would in a commercial jet, all at two orders of magnitude cheaper than anything else. What we plan on doing now is appealing to every segment of aviation. So from experimental through certified planes to commercial jets, we have designs and processes in place to FAA certify all the way up through a DA-178-254 safety certified primary flight display. But at higher performance and significantly lower cost. And right now, most commercial jets only have HUDs in the left seat. We'd like to see them in the left seat and the right seat. We'd like to see general aviation pilots have HUDs in the left seat and the right seat.
So Ray, I think your time is up, but maybe somebody will allow you to come back and talk about some of this stuff that
okay.
We haven't got to so far.